Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Lots of things in the news. I have entitled today's show, Collusion, Corruption, Kidnapping, and Creepy Crimes. And frankly, it's not hard to figure out what I'm talking about. It gets to the point where the collusion, the clear and obvious collusion between the son of the president who bears his name directly with the outfit that was spreading Russian espionage is not the major story. What kind of world are we living in where the creepy crimes of a child molester who also happens to want to imprison gay people and is running for the United States Senate seat in Alabama is actually bigger news? And then, totally off the front pages, even though it's unimaginable in a Clinton White House or an Obama White House, is the fact that the president's former national security advisor, Mike Flynn, was apparently involved in some kind of kidnapping scheme where he was going to kidnap a Turkish leader in America who was safely in America. He was going to kidnap the guy and turn him over to the Turkish dictator Erdogan, who presumably would have his political opponent killed. It sounds like more than kidnapping, actually. It sounds like conspiracy to commit murder and terrorism by our national security advisor. And that's the third most important story. Yeah. The president's national security advisor was involved in conspiracy to commit murder by helping to execute a political opponent of a foreign dictator. But that's not the top story. It's just not as big a deal as the other two. And then there's the tax cut story, which I have affectionately called corruption, because the whole story of the tax cuts is how it is to give a ton of money to very rich people by robbing from your Medicare and your Medicaid and whatever happened to infrastructure. Remember that? Donald Trump was going to support one thing that we Democrats could join with him on, crumbling bridges and roads all across the country. You're sitting in traffic, but Donald Trump would rather give very, very, very rich people a tax cut, even though they won't use any of it. So that's the four things at the top of the news today. I'm sure there's a lot more creepiness and corruption and collusion to go around. It's hard in only an hour to talk about the day's news over just the last 2 days. That's where we live right now. And I worry we're undergoing outrage fatigue. I worry when the son of the president, in a conspiracy to commit espionage against the United States, something that, last year would have easily been called treason. This is the kind of thing that, Aaron Burr might have been involved in, although he was found not guilty of treason. Remember all that fuss about Hillary's emails? Remember what it was about, supposedly? If you weren't just saying, okay, Republicans are trying to attack a political opponent. Supposedly, the issue was that Hillary Clinton, who sent hundreds of thousands of secure emails, might have sent one or two on a private server that she had in her basement that was never hacked by the Russians. The Russians hacked everything else. They hacked Podesta. They hacked the DNC. They even hacked the State Department. But they actually never found Hillary Clinton's server where one or two emails show that Hillary Clinton had planned to talk to a foreign government and then talk to them. They weren't top secret. They were the lowest level confidential. That was considered horrific. Lock her up, they shouted. But the president's son actively conspiring with the Russian dictator to commit espionage against the United States to harm a political opponent. just another day in the Trump White House. That's what we're living in. That's what we have to get used to. Look at Roy Moore, right? Roy Moore of Alabama, he's the guy, of course, that insisted on the Ten Commandments in front of his courthouse. And when the United States Supreme Court told them to take it down, he said, "Screw you, Supreme Court. I don't have to obey the Constitution. I'm above the law. I don't have to obey a higher court order. Don't you know Alabama seceded in 1861? We don't follow the United States law or Constitution." And they said, Roy, it's 2017 now, or I guess this happened a few years back. It's 150 years after the Civil War. You got to follow this stuff or we're going to remove you from the bench." And they removed him from the bench. And then the good people of Alabama re-elected him to the bench, where he promptly refused Supreme Court orders to allow gay couples to marry. So the Supreme Court made its ruling, ordered Alabama, like every other state, to apply the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the laws. And, well, Roy Moore said, "I hate gay people. I don't want them to have equal rights. I want them to be second-class citizens. I want them to go to jail," which is his position. To be fair, all Roy Moore wants to do is lock up all gay and lesbian people in prisons for the rest of their lives, I guess, because you never stop being gay. That's all he wants to do. You know, he might not necessarily murder all of us. He just wants to lock us all up. That's his position. So he's certainly not going to allow marriage. And again, removed by the Supreme Court. And now he's running for Senate. And that's bad enough. But it appears that this man who hates gay people has an affinity for children, female children. I guess in his view, it makes it okay. As he told Sean Hannity just a few nights ago, "You know, I never dated a little girl without her mother's permission." Okay, he may not have said little girl. He did say, though, without her mother's permission. And it's not just that he forced a 14-year-old to touch his private part. It's also that he sexually assaulted another young woman, a teenager. This one was 16 at the time. Of course, sexual assault, I think, is illegal for any age. Forced her head down into his crotch. This is a woman who just wanted a ride home. And when she escaped, he said, "You're just a child. You better not tell anyone about this. No one will believe you." This woman is a Trump voter. She's a Republican. She was not actually asked to come forward by anyone. The Washington Post did extensive investigative reporting of the first four young, well, women that were girls at the time that Roy Moore dated or assaulted them. They didn't know each other. They didn't come forward. This is no liberal plot. Sorry, Sean Hannity. But the fifth woman just came on her own, told her story. Roy Moore, of course, denied knowing her at all. But there's the problem. You see, she has him in her yearbook. He denied knowing the place they went to where he sexually assaulted her, but he mentions the place in the yearbook. She was a waitress, apparently, at this restaurant, and says, this 32-year-old to a 14 or 15-year-old girl, "Love, Roy Moore." I don't ask you to believe these allegations. We all know they're true. All you have to do is the evidence is overwhelming and his denials are less than convincing. When asked point blank by Sean Hannity if he ever dated girls this age, the best he could come up with was generally no. Generally no. I mean, most of the time I date people over 18, but you know, sometimes I go for the 14-year-olds. Do you rape little girls? Generally no. I pass little girls on the street all the time, and most of the time I don't rape them. Thanks, Roy. You're a good guy. So now Republicans are in a bit of a pickle because it's too late to take his name off the ballot. Now, he could quit Doesn't seem like he has any sign of quitting. Or they actually can disqualify him. The Republican Party can remove his name from the ballot entirely, but not put someone in his place. That would leave the Democrat, Doug Jones, on the ballot, and they could have a write-in campaign. But they don't want to do that. You see, that's unlikely to succeed. And the real question is, how many Republicans would prefer to have a child molester in the Senate than a Democrat? Even a relatively moderate / conservative Democrat like former prosecutor Doug Jones. They're in a bit of a pickle. And it tells you something not just about the state of the Republican Party, but the state of evangelical Christians today. Because the vast majority of evangelical Christians are sticking by him. You see, they hate gay people. They want to force women not to use birth control. And then when they get pregnant by the Roy Moores of the world that raped them, not to have abortions. That's all fine and dandy. That's normal. They want to punish people who practice different religions. That's all normal. And child molestation is just fine as long as it's man on little girl and not man on little boy. Apparently, there's some difference there. And my great question for evangelical Christians is, why do they call themselves Christian? You know, whenever there is a Muslim terrorist, everyone seems to call the Muslim community and says, why don't you condemn? Why don't you condemn the terrorists? And certainly in America, virtually all the Muslims do condemn that terrorism, as they should. Terrorism of any kind is bad. Well, I call on all evangelical Christians to condemn this man. He's one of your own. He should not be able to take down the religion of Christianity. It's not fair. And listen, I know I'm probably the least credible critic here. I'm not Christian. I'm Jewish. I'll tell you this, though. When a very creepy rabbi in Maryland took pictures of women bathing in the ritual bath, not only was he quickly fired from that synagogue, but he was completely shunned by the entire Jewish community. Jews immediately said his behavior was disgusting and offensive and contrary to Jewish beliefs, and we immediately excommunicated the man. So, yeah, you can call on Jews to distance ourselves from Jews. You can call on Muslims to distance yourself from Muslims. It's time for Christianity to reclaim the Christianity of Martin Luther King, the Christianity of Jesus, the Christianity of all those good liberal Christians. And I know many of you, a lot of you live in my district in Alexandria, and y'all have no problem condemning Roy Moore. I know that. But where are the evangelicals? The Bible thumpers, the people who are trying to cure ex-gay kids, but are just fine with child molestation. What's going on with the evangelicals? What are their principles to which child molestation is apparently secondary? I got a lot more to say. Of course, welcome your calls at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and we'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, talking about collusion, corruption, kidnapping, and creepy crimes. I can't decide which is the biggest story. They're all disgusting in their own way. Welcome to another day in the Trump universe. And for my fellow Virginian homies out there, hey, thanks again. Thanks for my reelection on Tuesday. Thank you for a terrific result where we won all three statewide races and almost, not quite yet, but there's still some recounts, almost took back the Virginia House of Delegates. Let me go to the lines. Michael, Old Faithful, line 3 from the Bronx. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mark, goodbye, and congrats once again.
Thank you.
You know something? To add to the Roy Moore and the GOP sex scandals that's going on, you mentioned something about the abortions, all right? And quite frankly, even those that are saying so much against abortions, there are those GOPs that pressure the mistresses or whoever they got impregnated from their infidelity. They pressure them and force them to go for abortions. Yeah. But then they get so upset when the woman says, no, my body's my choice. I'm keeping the baby. And when you compound of all of this, this sounds something very identical to 30 years ago when a certain Long Island ADA was also accused of abducting a teenage girl who happened to be black, and the ADA was white, and people were so quick to dismiss the claim because they couldn't picture a person of high office engaging in that
I don't know that story, Michael. Who was the ADA?
The ADA was Stephen Pagonis and the victim, Tawana Brawley. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, now that's a tougher one for me because I know there was some have said that she wasn't telling the truth. So I don't know all the specifics of those allegations, but
it may reopen them and make people,
so I'm not so sure that was the example you want, but I do know of other examples where the same guy who's against abortion is encouraging his mistress to have them. My point is that it's the same people who want to police other people's morality have morality issues of their own. You know, if a guy believed in everyone has the right to have sex, you know, and the age of consent should be down at 14. And you know what? I wouldn't agree with them, but at least they'd be consistent. You know, they would say, I want everyone to have as much sex as possible. This is a guy who's saying, I want to round up all gay people, adults having sex with adults, and put you in jail at the same time as he wants to molest teenage girls. And it's the hypocrisy, I think, matters. Again, I'm not saying it's okay. I mean, people can want whatever they want. They're running for office. But that, to me, is what's so offensive. It's evangelical Christians should care about child molestation. And I think they do. I think if a Democrat were accused of these exact same crimes, they'd be all over that Democrat. And so the question is, when do you sacrifice your own beliefs for some supposed greater good? And what is that greater good? And if you believe in morality, particularly sexual morality, then, you know, I guess shouldn't he who's without sin throw the first stone? Thank you for your call, Michael. I appreciate it. When we come back, I do want to talk about the tax cuts a little bit because they are really very painful for all of us, for most of us, 99.9% of us. They will be very fruitful for Donald Trump. And I want to talk more about Russian collusion, because there are still a few that would seem to deny it. And really the whole concept of truth. I mean, how do you convince someone for whom truth is just not an issue? This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after the break. 888-488-MARK if you want to call in. 888-488-6275. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Way too much news to talk about, but that's why I'm here for you. If you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. In our outrage over Russian collusion and Donald Trump Jr.'s involvement in it, in our outrage over the creepy crimes of Roy Moore, and we'll get back to him, I promise. I know that's the salacious stuff. It is important to remember that the Republicans want to raise your taxes. Now, that's not how they're going to say it. And I admit, if you make $10 million a year, you'll probably get a tax. You will get a tax cut. No question about it. But it's interesting who the Republicans want to help first. You can make an argument for tax cuts for people who are struggling to pay their health care bills, for two-job families, for single parents You can make an argument for tax cuts for people to get education, student loans, maybe to help house the homeless. Certainly a taxes to help finance health care. I can think of lots of good reasons to decrease some people's taxes, even military or police or something. You know, if there are lots of things you could argue for. But the people I think who are least deserving and frankly least American and most likely not to use that tax cut is multinational corporations. You know, ExxonMobil, just as an example, a corporation that's all over the world and would very much like relief from taxes. Now, corporate taxes have already gone down dramatically over the last 50 years. In fact, corporations are paying way less than half, closer to a third, of what they used to pay. And now they want to cut it even more, about in half. Now, we know the reason, or we should know the reason, why they want to cut corporate taxes so much, because CEOs give lots of money to Republicans, and if they make $200 million rather than $100 million, that's a lot more money to spend on Republican campaigns, which gets more Republicans elected, and the circle of corruption and money is clear. But if you ask a conservative, if you ask them ostensibly, what is supposedly the reason? What is the reason for the tax cut? They will tell you something different. They will tell you it's to stimulate the economy. So I think it's a fair question. How much does a tax cut for corporations stimulate the economy? And the only really fair way to judge it is to compare the tax cut for corporations to any other expenditure of government funds. They want to go into debt $1.5 trillion and give it all away to these international corporations. Give most of it away. A decent chunk goes to the estate tax. Americans that those poor American couples that die with only $22 million, you know, those poor rich people, you know, if you have $25 million, you might have to pay some tax on the extra $3 million. Yeah, it's tough being that rich. So other than that, most of the money goes to multinational corporations. And the argument is that if we give corporations a tax cut, that's going to create jobs, that's going to boost the economy. So I've given this argument before, but it's well worth repeating, and I think folks should spread the word. I didn't make it up. It really comes from my economics class. I have a degree in economics. I want you to think about the difference between infrastructure spending and corporate tax reduction. So let's take $1.5 trillion. That's a lot of change. That's a lot of money. $1.5 trillion is 3 or 4 times our current budget deficit right now. Take $1.5 trillion and we're going to invest it all, every penny, in roads and bridges and airports and high-speed trains. We're going to have more bicycle lanes and more mass transit and more funding for metro systems like we have in Washington, D.C. We're going to get everybody around faster and easier with less traffic. So where's that $1.5 trillion go? Well, it goes right into the pockets of workers right away. People who don't have a lot of money, people, your construction, you're going to make a lot of money. But you're going to do much better. A whole bunch more people, middle-class people, working-class people have money in their pockets. Okay? And what are they going to do with that money? Well, they're going to spend it. How do I know they're going to spend it? Because they're middle-class, working-class people. I mean, if you make $100 million a year, and now you make $150 million that year, other than having, you know, a 5 in your bank book, what does it change? You're going to buy a fourth mansion? You already have 3. You already have 1 Caribbean island. You going to get a second one? Maybe. Of course, that's not American investment. You got 12 cars. How many more trips around the world are you going to take? How many gold-plated toilet seats can you buy? Not that many. You already make $100 million a year. Most people that rich, frankly, give it away. People like Bill Gates, people like Mark Zuckerberg, people like Tim Cook, I'm sure, or Warren Beatty, not Warren Beatty, Warren, Sage of Omaha. I don't know why his name's escaping me at the moment. You know who I'm talking about. Anyway, most rich, very rich people give it all away. So, but let's go back to infrastructure. Not only do these workers have more money, and not only do they spend it because they might now need a second car for their two-job family. They have more money for toys for the kids at Christmas. They can afford more vacations to Florida or Virginia or California or wherever they are. And then those people, they go out more. They go to restaurants more. And people who are waiters in restaurants make more money. And people who manufacture toys make more money. And those workers make more money. And they spend the money and so on and so on and so on. But that's not all. Plus, there's the benefits of the infrastructure. You get to work faster. You get home faster. You can spend more time with your kids. You can be more productive at work. We just have a happier populace. You can get goods from place to place more quickly. You can get that thing you order on Amazon more quickly because the roads are clear. You don't have to sit in traffic all the time. And bridges and roads that will last for maybe a century. We won't have bridges crumbling. We won't have Europe and Japan with massive high-speed trains that we know how to build high-speed trains. We're smart enough in America to have those, but we think we can't afford them. Now, businessmen can get places more quickly, and that helps the economy. That helps the bottom line. $1.5 trillion in infrastructure spending would probably cause $5-6 trillion in benefits to the economy. And you can see why. The benefits just multiply. Now take that same $1.5 trillion and we'll give it all to multinational corporations. Well, the first question is, are they going to invest it? The answer is no. In a surprising burst of honesty, CEOs have admitted that the first thing they would do with $1.5 trillion is pay down some corporate debt. Second thing they would do is buy corporate shares so as to artificially increase their share price, which gives shareholders profits, paper profits, unless they cash them in, by the way. And if they do cash them in, please remember that 1/2 of all shares are owned not by the top 1%, but by the top 0.1% of Americans. So 1 in 1,000, I guess, will be happy. But you know what they won't do with it? They won't invest it. And the reason is quite simple. If you sell widgets or Apple computers or cars and you suddenly have $1 trillion more as a corporation or $1 billion more, whatever it is, why would you build another factory? The demand for your cars doesn't change. The demand for your products doesn't change. Ordinary Joe has no more money in his pocket. Sheila can't afford your nice jewelry. So why would you hire anyone to make jewelry or cars or anything else for that matter? You'll just take the money and give it back to shareholders. It'll be a direct pass-through from ordinary taxpayers who are going to lose their Medicare and Medicaid to the very, very, very rich. It won't stimulate the economy. What's fascinating is that CEOs of corporations have admitted this. In a clip I'm about to play for you by the Wall Street Journal, hardly a liberal rag, right? This is a conservative free market. This is the newspaper that is Rupert Murdoch's way to show how much he loves conservatives. The reporter asked the question of a whole room full of CEOs. How many will use the money for investment? Put it back in your corporations, increase jobs, all these things Republicans say are going to happen. And right by his side was Gary Cohn, who is Donald Trump's advisor on these kinds of things. And the reporter obviously expected the CEOs to say they put it back in investment. It was a tee-up, easy question, right? This was a gimme. They would say yes, and that would justify the tax cut and so forth. Mark, let's play the clip of what happened when CEOs were asked this question.
Can I ask you all a quick question? If the tax reform bill goes through, do you plan to increase investment, your company's investment, capital investment? Just a show of hands, the tax reform goes through? Okay.
Why aren't the other hands up?
Why aren't the other hands up?
John, I've got a question.
Okay, now that was the Wall Street Journal reporter says, hey, raise your hand. Are you going to increase your investment at all in your company if this $1.5 trillion tax cut goes through? Very, very few hands were raised. And the Trump guy is surprised. He's like, well, why aren't the other hands up? They're not up, Gary, because these CEOs are actually telling the truth. In a new Quinnipiac poll, only 25% of Americans approve the GOP tax plan. and only 16% think it will actually reduce their taxes. 16%. 61% say it will benefit the wealthy most. So this is what they're basing everything on. This is Republicans try to kill health care. They try to take away health care from 30 million Americans. That didn't work. And now they're trying to take health care away from millions of Americans in order to give this massive tax cut to not even Americans, to multinational corporations. The big ones, not small businesses. And we're going to not focus on this because we're focused on Roy Moore, as we should be as well, how he mistreated young girls. That's the problem. We have outrage fatigue. I haven't even gotten to collusion and kidnapping yet. Call in if you like, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Lots to cover in the last 10 minutes or so. Let's start with Roy Moore. Sean Hannity could not be a more favorable place for someone like Roy Moore. Even among all those at Fox, Sean Hannity is going to do his best to feed you the right kind of questions to make you look good. It doesn't matter what the truth is, Sean Hannity will absolutely put forward the Republican or Trumpian agenda, even if he looks silly doing so. But in this case, Sean Hannity is trying to help Roy Moore get out of these very, very specific allegations. And I'm afraid Roy Moore digs himself a little deeper. Let's play the first clip.
But you don't specifically remember having any girlfriend that was in her late teens even at that time?
No, I don't remember that. And I don't remember ever dating any girl without the permission of her mother. And I think in her statement, she said that her mother actually encouraged her to go out with me.
Well, actually, there was one, a 14-year-old that was working as a Santa helper when you approached her and when she was 16 and her mother forbade her. That was the third case.
Yeah. So Sean has to point out that actually you didn't have the mother's permission to rape the waitress. If you're a 17-year-old boy and you ask for the mom's permission, that's nice. If you're a 32-year-old man, creepy is the least of it. Let's play the other clip as went on in the interview.
Let's go back to one more question because I didn't understand this. If you're 32 and you do date, again, this is a difference, 17 or 18-year-old, that's a pretty big gap for a pretty young girl. Is that something you did when you were dating? I'm not talking about the 14-year-old in that specific allegation. Would it be normal behavior back in those days for you to date a girl that's 17 or 18?
No, not normal.
If my daughter is 17, my daughter's 16 years old. If she's 17 or 18, I don't want her dating a 32-year-old.
I wouldn't either.
And you can say unequivocally you never dated anybody that was in their late teens like that when you were 32?
It would have been out of my customary behavior. That's right.
In other words, you don't recall ever dating any girl that young when you were that old?
I've said no.
So that's the slow pitch, right? That's the throwing the ball over the plate, underhanded. You could say unequivocally, you never dated anybody that was in their late teens like that when you were 32. And all he had to say was, nope, I did not. It's all a lie. Instead, he said it would have been out of my customary behavior. You know, most of the time he dated girls over 18. But, you know, he every now and then you got to have a 14-year-old. This is the man that Alabama Republicans strongly support to be the next United States Senator from Alabama. That's one story. Then there's another story that I haven't even mentioned yet, because it breaks my heart. Another mass murder, this time in California, this time in elementary school. I read the story, and you know what? I feel like I could have written the story before it happened. Yes, the guy had an assault rifle. Yes, he murdered his wife. Yes, he went on the rampage after he murdered his wife. Yes, he had a long history of anger and rages and mental illness. And yes, everyone in the NRA wants this mentally ill, dangerous, angry, insane person to have access to a weapon of mass destruction. And little kids are dead. And the response of Republicans is, oh, well. Oh, well. Sucks to be you, parent of little child murdered by a deranged madman. But, yeah, we don't want any gun laws to stop the guy. Just another day. These things used to occur every few years. Then they occurred every year. Now they're occurring every month. You know what? They're occurring more often than once a month. One thing I'm committed to do, and frankly, Democratic legislators all across the United States are committing to doing, is to have gun safety regulation. To say, you know what? You gun owners who are responsible should join with us non-gun owners to say that irresponsible people shouldn't have easy access to these mass killing weapons. How is that so hard? Military-grade weapons. Tell me again why you want an insane madman with a rage problem who's murdered his wife to have easy access to guns again. I'll put another bill for background checks. We'll see if the new composition of the Virginia House of Delegates actually gets it passed this time. But I need to move on because I still haven't really talked about the Russian collusion story. Here's what bothers me the most about this. Trump and Trumpians, and those on the left that support them, and there are some. There's my former friend, former co-host on WPFW, Garland Nixon, who's paid by Vladimir Putin, paid by the Russian government, to say there is no Russian collusion. Right here in the United States, good old Russian troll out there trying to encourage people not to vote for Democrats. He, along with the Trumpians, always said there's no Russian collusion, no Russian collusion. Ridiculous story, ridiculous story. And now we know the son of the president. It's really hard to have plausible deniability when your name is Donald Trump Jr. At least Haldeman and Ehrlichman weren't called Richard Nixon Jr. So Donald Trump Jr. is regularly communicating with WikiLeaks, which is the in conspiracy with the Russian government. And they knew it because they said, hey, WikiLeaks, give us all the dirt on Hillary Clinton. The one that you obtained illegally by espionage, right? The one that you obtained by hacking into your emails. That's not legal, by the way, to hack into someone's emails. That's a crime. And he's admitting he committed a crime. And I'm looking forward, really looking forward to the day that Donald Trump Jr. is frog marched to jail. The only thing I look forward to it more is the day after impeachment that his father is put in a nice prison without a gold toilet seat. That will be a beautiful day in American history. Meanwhile, Mike Flynn, involved in this crazy kidnapping scheme? Really? Really? Helping an authoritarian dictator murder their citizens who should find refuge in the United States? Is that why we don't want refugees here? Because we want to kill them off? It gets so crazy that if this were a Saturday Night Live episode last year, it, I guess, would be funny because no one would believe it. Friends, don't have outrage fatigue. Don't let the fact that these horrible stories, one after the other, now they're trying the Affordable Care Act again, they're coming at you one after one after one, and that's the first thing the dictator does is get you nervous and scared. Keep fighting back. Keep up the resistance, and I'll talk to you on Monday.